Thank you, Rip Solomon. I really enjoy the fact that you didn't introduce me, because every time people introduce me, I feel like they give me a eulogy about me, and I have to listen to it. At least when you're dead, you don't hear it. But when you're alive, you do. So if you can pass these back, please. And if I can bother you, Rip Solomon, if that shtender actually would be helpful, so I can stand here in the middle, that would be great. Thanks. Okay, good morning, everyone. I am amazed that you get up at such an hour in the morning to come to school early. I don't know many people that come to school early. I have a daughter that usually does not get up to school on time. So for you to come early is really amazing. Do you get extra credit for this? No, this is total volunteering. This is what we call in Jewish Torah Lishma, learning Torah for its own sake. And that's what we're going to do this morning, because nothing I'm about to say has anything to do with real life. In other words, at the end of the class, you're going to say, okay, the law stays the same. So what changed? What might change is the way you understand it. And here's the question that we have. Purim was when?
1 week.
Last week.
Exactly a week ago plus a day, right? The day after Purim, did anything change in our lives? What's the day after Purim in the Jewish calendar?
Shushan Purim.
What date?
15th.
The 15th of Adar. The 15th of Adar is exactly a month before the 15th of
Nisan,
meaning Pesach. So my question this morning is, did anything change that day?
Yes.
Or everything stayed the same? What changed?
We have to start preparations for Pesach.
We have to start preparing things for Pesach. Why? There is a lot to do.
And a lot to learn.
But suppose you're a fast worker. And suppose you can get ready for Pesach within a week. This year, the way Pesach falls out, it's Friday night. We have exactly a week before Pesach. Do you have to, on the day after Purim, say, well, something changed, got to get ready for Pesach? Or can you wait till that week before?
Well, no, you've got to start learning and prepare yourself.
You've got to start learning and prepare yourself. Did anything tangibly change in our lives the day after Purim? We woke up in the morning, Purim's over, costumes we put away, sober. What changed? If you look on the first source in your source sheet, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, says, HaMeferesh, B'Me'abashallah Yamo Yotzeh B'Shayara, Toch 30 Yom, Zakuk Livdok. Kodem 30 Yom, Eino Tzarich Livdok. So here is the question, and here's what changed. If you are home on Friday morning of last week, then you have an obligation to check your house from Chametz, from that day until Pesach. In other words, if I leave my home next week, and I'm not going to be home before Pesach, I'm actually going to be away all the way through Pesach, what do I have to do before I leave? Check for Chametz, which means I have to clean the house, and eventually check it from Chametz. If, however, I wasn't home on the day after Purim, but rather I was away before Purim, all the way through Pesach, I don't have to check my home, I don't have to clean my home. All I have to do, anyone know?
Yeah.
I have to relax, this is true. All you have to do is sell your chametz, and all you have to say on the Erev Pesach, on the eve of Pesach, Friday morning in a few weeks, all the chametz I own is ownerless. It's like dust. But if I'm home, I have to clean. So that morning, last week, Friday morning, something changed. If you're home, you have to clean your house before you leave home. If you're not home, you don't have to clean, and you don't have to check for chametz. Everybody understand? So something very big changed within the Jewish people last week. If you're home, you have to start cleaning and checking your house for chametz, even if you're not going to be home on the night before Pesach, when we do check for chametz with a bracha. But if you're not home, the whole house can be full of chametz. All you got to do is sell it. And, of course, on the eve of Pesach, make the declaration that everything I own is ownerless. So, guys, girls, that's what's changed since Purim. My question to you is as follows. This morning, if you're going to eat bread, a bagel, a sandwich, are you eating chametz or bread?
Bread.
Now, let's just think of this. What's bread? Bread is chametz. Bread is something permissible to eat if it's kosher, right? What's chametz? Anytime the Torah says chametz, what does it mean? Something you can't eat. So this morning, since we just explained that something changed last week, are we going to eat a sandwich or are we eating chametz this morning? a sandwich because we're allowed to eat it. Or perhaps someone can suggest that since we're within the 30 days before Pesach, we're not eating a sandwich this morning. We're eating chametz, but we're allowed to eat it. In other words, are you eating a sandwich because I eat a sandwich last month, 2 months ago, I'm going to eat a sandwich after Pesach? Or is it chametz, but you're allowed to eat it? You're allowed to eat it up until the Erev Pesach, up until the eve of Pesach, Friday morning in a few weeks. If you look where it says explanation, let's see how the sources understood this law of the 30 days before Pesach. Rashi, on the right side of the page, says that 30 days before Pesach is supposed to start learning the laws of Pesach, and another point of view says 2 weeks is enough. Says Rashi, Ulekamam nefarish keneged shoalin behilchot haPesach kodem haPesach 30 yom, umeaz chalalav lihizaher b'tzorchei haPesach. Says Rashi, that within 30 days of Pesach, you have to start learning about the laws of Pesach, not just preparing your house. And from then on, you have to lihizaher b'tzorchei haPesach. What does those words mean? Careful with the needs of Pesach. The Meiri, another one of the medieval scholars on the Talmud, on the left side of the page, says a little differently. The part where it's bolded and it has a line through it. Says the Meiri, that since we're within 30 days before Pesach, as your name? Sarah said earlier, it's a good idea to start getting ready for Pesach because it's looming, it's about to happen. As we say in Hebrew, ototo, in a few weeks, it's here. So it's a good idea not to be waiting for the last week, or not to wait for the last minute, but rather to start preparing. So Rashi says that from the 30 days before Pesach, you have to start to be careful with the laws of Pesach. On the other hand, says the Meiri, it's a good idea to start getting ready. What's the difference between them? Between saying it's a good idea to get ready versus you have to start today to be worried about Pesach?
One's like a suggestion.
One is a suggestion.
One's an instruction.
And one's an instruction. Now let's sharpen what was just said. Rosara says one's a suggestion, and sitting next to Sarah?
Mia.
Mia says it's actually not an instruction, it's an obligation. Correct? According to the Meiri, this morning, in my humble opinion, if you're going to eat a sandwich, you're eating a sandwich. But be careful, because Pesach is coming. So if you happen to take a book out off the shelf, because it's boring just to eat, I always found it boring to eat, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It's always boring just to eat. Like I'm on a plane, I'm eating, that's all you're doing, because when on a plane, you know the seats are like about this big, and you have that little table that comes out. It's impossible to put a computer there or something. You just eat, it's boring. It's like nothing there. I have to put on some headphones or something to make it interesting. So let's say this morning you're going to eat and no one's around you. You have no friends to talk to. So what do? You open up a book and you start reading a book and you're eating at the same time. An interesting book. Says the Meiri, you know, it might be a good idea after you finish the meal to do what?
To dust off the book.
Comes along Rashi and will say, no, you're not eating a sandwich, you're eating chametz. God allowed you to eat it until Pesach. But it's chametz. And therefore, because it's chametz, of course you have to shake off the book. Of course you have to go ahead and make sure it's not there. In other words, within the 30 days of Pesach, did anything change? Or it's just a good idea to be careful. Now, this may be two ways to look at the law of 30 days before Pesach. In other words, since we have an obligation to start checking for chametz, if we're not going to be home on the night before Pesach, does that mean that already, right now, there's a prohibition of chametz, but we're allowed to eat it until Pesach? Or there's no prohibition of chametz, nothing changed, it's just a good idea. These two explanations have ramifications, in my opinion, throughout Jewish law. And let's begin to see them, and then you'll understand why it's so important. Practical ramification number one. Look in your source sheet. We're about almost at the bottom. Do you say a bracha on an early check? Does anyone here know what an early check is?
You check early.
When are you supposed to check your house for chametz?
The night before Pesach.
So this year, what night does that come out in the week?
Thursday
night. Thursday night, you light a flashlight or you light a candle and you start checking your house for chametz. By the way, just as just a commercial break, when you check your house from chametz, you do not have to check for the smallest, tiniest little crumb, and you don't have to check for dust. What you have to check for is real bona fide chametz, like something around this big, and perhaps Cheerios and things like that that are really something you'd put into your mouth. That's what you're supposed to do the night before Pesach. Let's say, however, you're going to leave your house a week before Pesach. You're going to Israel. You're not going to be home for Pesach. Do you have to check your house before you leave? We just said, if you're home within 30 days, you have to check before you leave. So, do you make a bracha on that check, that early check, or don't you? Says the Meiri, V'chol elu shebotkim kodem zman, all those that are going to leave home before that Thursday night, and they have to check their house for chametz, because as I said, we're within the 30 days. Yesh omrim shemibarchin, ve'in only rakein. Some people say you have to make a bracha, and I don't think so. And on the left side of the page you see, yesh omrim mivarchin, if she'ein sha'ata mitzvah ela mi'or ha'basar. And some say you don't make a bracha, because the actual mitzvah is only on the 14th of Nisan. So, if we do an early check, some people say you do make a bracha, some say you don't. How do you understand that difference of opinion? Because everyone agrees you have to check. The question is, do you make a bracha? How do you understand that difference of opinion?
Maybe it depends whether you think that within the 30 days before.
Pardon?
If you go by Rashi, who says that in the 30 days before it is chametz, and you do have to make a bracha.
Right.
And then the Irim says it's not chametz, and you do it.
Correct. Beautiful. Your name?
Hadassah.
I agree with Hadassah. You don't have to agree with the explanation. But Hadassah is basically saying like this. If we define the bread we eat this morning as chametz, that means that we can make a bracha, al biur chametz. I am commanded God and has been sanctified to get rid of the chametz because there's already a prohibition of chametz in the air. Albeit, we're still allowed to eat it until the eve of Pesach. And you, if you say that, you can make a bracha. But if there is no prohibition of chametz as of yet, it's just a good idea to start cleaning your house. How can you make a bracha? Al biur chametz, getting rid of the chametz. There's no prohibition of chametz as of yet. You could say perhaps al biur bread, al biur Cheerios, al biur noodles. But you can't say al biur chametz. There is no prohibition of chametz, so you can't make a bracha. So those two points of view, do you make a bracha on an early check or don't you, basically are dependent upon that particular difference of opinion. Is there a prohibition of chametz on the day after Purim or not? If you say yes, you probably have to make a bracha. There's already a prohibition of chametz in the air. You can still eat it, but there's a prohibition in the air. Or, if there is no prohibition, you don't make a bracha. Another ramification. By the way, on that question, because in usually in Jewish law, when there's a doubt regarding a bracha, what do we usually say?
Don't say it.
Why? There shouldn't be a bracha levatala, a bracha, God's name in vain. We're always concerned about saying God's name in vain, and therefore any time there's a doubt in brachot, for example, you don't know if you made a bracha, we usually say don't make the bracha. So that's the law. You don't make the bracha. But there is a difference of opinion. If you didn't forget, you're about to check, you're about to put on that flashlight, do you make a bracha or not? And in my opinion, it's based on the fact that is it already, after 30 days within Pesach, is there already a prohibition of chametz in the air, or isn't there? Practical ramification number two. You are homeless on the ninth of the four, on the night of the 14th of Nisan. What does that mean, homeless? You're not at home. Doesn't mean you're not at home. What's homeless?
You don't have a home.
Now, most people here came from a home this morning. Thank God there's no one really homeless. This particular situation that we're about to read about is someone that did what's usually done today. They sold their chametz before Pesach, and instead of cleaning their house, what they did is they sold their entire house to a non-Jew. And this is all done before the 14th of Nisan, before that night of Pesach, when we usually check for chametz. Okay? It's a good trick. How do you get away from cleaning from Pesach? Just sell your house, and then you don't have a house. You don't have a house. You don't have to clean. Very nice trick. Is it a good idea, a bad idea? I'll leave it to Reb Solomon to decide, is that a good idea to outsmart God or not? But let's say you did it. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Yisrael yotzeh mi beit eno yudi toch shloshim yom, and nechas bebayit acher be'ir zo, olech li'ir acheret, אינו צריך לבאר בית האינו יהודי, שהרי יקיים מצוות ביור באותו בית אחר, והאם הוא מפורט שיוצא בשייר ולא ייכנס בפסח בבית, יש מי שאומר שחלה עליו חובת הביור, כיוון שהוא תוך למד יום, ויש שומרים שאינו צריך. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law, if you sold your house to a non-Jew, because you don't want to clean for Pesach, within the 30 days of Pesach, do you have to check your house from Chametz before you leave? Some say yes, some say no. What do you think the difference of opinion is based on? Rashi and the Meir, we go back. If there's already a prohibition of Chametz in the air, then quite frankly, you are already obligated to check Chametz the day after Purim. So it makes no difference that you sold your house to a non-Jew. The obligation was on you before you sold the house to the non-Jew. Selling your house to the non-Jew usually happens a day or two before Pesach. But if you say there's no prohibition of Chametz in the year as of yet, I have a great idea. We're not going to be home for Pesach. We'll sell our house to the non-Jew before the 14th of Nisan. You don't have to clean. You don't have to check. You save a lot of work. You understand the difference here? One point of view says, it makes no difference. You're going to have to clean. You're going to have to do everything. It makes no difference. It doesn't even pay to go away for Pesach because the house is going to be clean anyway. And the other point of view says, no problem. Sell the house and you're not obligated to check. In other words, if I tomorrow morning sell my house to a non-Jew because I won't be home until Pesach, I'm going to be traveling, I'm going to be visiting friends, and then I'm going to be somewhere else, there's a difference of opinion if you have to check for Chametz. One point of view says, no, the check for Chametz is only on the night of the 14th, the 30 days before Pesach, irrelevant. And the other point of view says, no, if you leave within 30 days, you have to check. In my humble opinion, what is this based on? Is there a prohibition of Chametz now, right now, as we're speaking, or isn't there? And if you turn the page, I have one more practical ramification for you. And here it is. This morning, as I said earlier, did we eat bread or chametz? Here is the question. In Jewish law, when you have something that is not kosher, let's say you have a plate, a pot, and you cooked pig in it, is the pot doomed for the, how do you say garbage again in Australia? Rubbish, thank you. It's a little early in the morning. You have nothing better to do, you cooked pig in the pot, you got to throw it out, or is there a way to fix it?
You can kosher it.
You can kosher it, correct. You can actually kosher the pot. How do you kosher a pot? You got to reverse what you did. So if you cooked in the pot with water, how do you kosher the pot? Put hot water in it, you let it boil. Let's say it's not a pot. It's a grate of your barbecue. And you cooked on it nice, delicious, kosher bread. Nice, delicious, kosher bread. You toasted it up and before you ate it. Or you took a few hamburgers that have within it. You know how to make a hamburger? If you found out how to make a hamburger, you'll probably never eat it again in your life. But if you don't know, better not. I'll just say one of the things usually in a hamburger to keep it nice and together, the paste of it is sometimes breadcrumbs. So if you have a hamburger with breadcrumbs in it, and you put it on the grate of your barbecue, before Pesach, obviously, and now you want to use that same grate of the barbecue on Pesach, how do you kosher it? Blowtorch. How hot does it have to get? It has to get so hot that basically by the time you're finished, it's about to be burnt. It looks totally burnt. That's called libun chamur. Real blowtorching. But there's something else in between the pot of water and the blowtorching at your level. It's called libun kal. What's libun kal? You take your blowtorch, you put it over the grate. It doesn't get that hot. It gets hot enough that if I put this piece of paper next to it, it would begin to burn. Let's say I'm burning these things. This is made out of metal. If I put it next to it, it starts to burn. Libun chamor means the thing is totally black by the time I finish it. How much do you have to kosher before Pesach? Libun kal or libun chamor? Blowtorching until it gets totally brown and black, or good enough for it to be hot? The answer to that question is, it depends what it swallowed beforehand. If it swallowed something that's permissible to eat, then you can just kosher it by libun kal. What's permissible to eat, for example?
Kosher food.
I'll give you another example, easier than that. Let's say you have something, a grate, that you cooked something dairy on, and now you want to kosher it to make it meat. I'm not saying that's always possible. There is an ancient Jewish custom not to kosher from meat to milk and vice versa. But assuming that we don't keep that custom, then what did the grate swallow? Did it swallow anything that's prohibited? No. It's permissible to eat milk. It's no problem to eat dairy as long as it's kosher. And you want to now kosher it to meat. It's enough to do libun kal. But if that particular grate had real pig on it, then what do you got to do? Libun chamor all the way. What about chametz? I want to kosher my grill before Pesach. Chametz, bread. You allowed to eat it all year? Yes, breadcrumbs with hamburgers with breadcrumbs. You allowed to eat all year? How much do you have to kosher? If you look on the top of the second sheet, you'll see that the Mishnah Brura, which is an interpretation on the code of Jewish law, says this is a difference of opinion between the Ramban on the right side and the Ravid on the other side. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says chametz before Pesach is as worse as pig. And if you want to kosher your grate, libun chamor, you gotta take that blowtorch and almost burn it totally. According to the Ravid, on the other hand, no. Before Pesach, are we allowed to eat bread? So the hamburger we put on the grate is permissible? Not just permissible, it's not called even chametz. And therefore, it swallowed a taste that's permitted, just like dairy. And therefore, you got to do is libun kal. This has a very beautiful, this is a very practical thing, because libun chamor basically means you burn it so much, you're probably not going to be able to use it later. Libun kal means you make it hot, but then when it dry, when it's no longer hot, when it cools down, you can use it. So says the Ramban, what's chametz before Pesach? As worse as pig. And therefore you have to kosher it all the way. On the other hand, the Ravid says, no, it's not. It's permitted. And therefore it's not chametz. And if you want to kosher it for Pesach, it's enough to do libun kal. This has so many ramifications in Jewish law. I can go on and on, but I'll just give you the most practical one. Everyone here has an oven at home. How do you kosher an oven?
Turn it on to the hottest.
Is that libun? Is that really blowtorching it? No. That's called libun kal. It gets hot, but it doesn't get that hot. On the other hand, if you say that the oven actually swallowed a prohibited taste, like pig, it's not enough to put it on to the highest. What do you got to do? You got to blowtorch it. There are some authorities that say you can't kosher an oven for Pesach for that reason, because if you blowtorch an oven, you know what happens to your oven? Bye-bye oven. Anyone here ever blowtorch an oven? I can promise you any individual that ever blowtorched an oven, as he was blowtorching it, he blowtorched the wire, he shorted out the oven, bye-bye oven. I can promise you. So, that's a very practical question. Is this morning, when you put into the oven your challahs for Shabbat, did you now put chametz in the oven and the only way to kosher it is through blowtorching it? Or did you put something permissible in the oven? And therefore, the way to kosher it is, your name again?
Gadi.
Gadi said, well, how do you kosher it? Put it onto the highest heat, make sure it's clean, and we'll call it a day. Once again, we go back to our very machloket difference of opinion. If you put in real chametz, and it's called chametz, how do you kosher it? Blowtorch. If it's not chametz this morning, it's something permissible, how do you kosher it? Highest heat. So as you can see, we brought three ramifications to understand if this morning, right now, we're within the 30 days before Pesach, are we eating bread or are we eating chametz? If you say you're eating chametz, but God said it's okay till the eve of Pesach, then, obviously, if you're going to kosher something, it has to be at the highest level. If you check for chametz before you leave your house, you'll probably do it with a bracha. And what's number three? We said that. You have to make a bracha. And if you're homeless, meaning you sold your home, You don't have to worry about checking your house for chametz. However, if there's no prohibition yet in the air, then number one, if you leave your house before Pesach, you don't make a bracha, because there's no prohibition yet of chametz. Number two is, if you're homeless, you definitely don't have to check. And number three, how do you kosher your stuff? In the easier method. So as you can see here, there's a difference of opinion as to how to define the 30 days before Pesach. Is the day after Purim changed our lives totally? And from now on in, we're eating chametz, albeit God said it's okay, up until Pesach? Or no? It's bread. It's bread up until Pesach. Up until the eve of Pesach. Eve of Pesach comes, it becomes chametz. The word chametz in the Torah is always used in reference to things you can't eat or can't do. For example, in the temple, in the Beit HaMikdash, the majority of sacrifices were brought without chametz. With three exceptions, the majority of them were brought without chametz. And that's where the Torah calls it chametz, because it's prohibited. But if you don't call it chametz, you call it bread, then it's totally and utterly permissible. So this morning we tried to establish if something changed within these 30 days before Pesach, and therefore I leave it to you to decide if this morning, if you eat a sandwich, are you eating bread or are you eating chametz? Have a good day, everyone. A good Shabbos. Thank you.